Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Presented by Chafin Lujan Andry Law Firm. Doing good by doing right. Once a week, we're joined by royalty. Ed Bouchette, King of Steelers Media, the Hall of Famer, the McCann Award winner. He said the Steelers are going to go out and draft Najee Harris. That's what I would do. Lo and behold, that's what they did. So Ed probably in a very jovial mood. And a lot to get into with him today. So we're very happy to have him back. Hi, Ed.
Hello, Andrew. Christopher.
Hi, Ed. Hey, Ed.
Hey. Yes, Andrew.
What do you make of the Steelers' offensive line coming out of the draft? Are you high on it? Are you higher on it than you were beforehand?
No, I mean, I don't know how you could be higher on it.
Well, they got two more players than they had before the draft.
Yeah, well, you figured they were going to get some linemen. Now we've got to figure out how they're going to fit in. And until that happens, we won't know. I mean, I think the center has a chance to start as a rookie. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he will. You know, that Dan Moore, I don't think will start. But we'll see. You know, what Cheeks is going to do. I don't know how anybody could tell you anything about their line right now, other than the left guard looked pretty good last year. You know? Mm-hmm. What do we know about Cheeks playing left tackle? He may be totally different, better. Worse than playing right tackle.
Well, Kevin said he had a good year last year today on our airwaves. He said Chooks had a good season. I was like, is he, okay. What curve is he grading on? Good year.
Well, maybe the pass blocking, because they all got excellent pass blocking grades because Ben got rid of the ball so quickly, right?
Exactly.
He didn't get sacked.
Yep.
The run blocking, I don't know how any of them got any good grades. I really don't. Seriously. So, I don't know. Maybe he's grading on a curve. Kevin is, or maybe he's just trying to boost him. I don't know. Kevin's not a negative guy, and, you know, maybe not objective as well.
Well, you know, most of us North Catholic guys are really positive guys. That's what people tell me all the time, Ed, that I just brim with positivity. I was interested. By the way, for anybody that's caring about this sort of thing, technically the dogs barked while the mic was on here in the far background, if you're into that sort of thing, and you know what that means for this show. Anyway, Ed, I was interested in The Athletic today. You had I think it was published today. It was the story of beat writers from all 32 teams tell, you know, the reader where that team improved the most, or what group improved the most from before the draft now that till now after the draft. And I was stunned, literally stunned, to see offensive line as the Steelers' area of greatest improvement. And then I was sort of stunned a little bit to see your name next to it. I thought maybe Kabali would have tried to swerve everybody with that kind of thing. Why did you say the offensive line looked most improved?
I'm not quite sure. That's how it was worded, Chris. And I think, and now I wrote that like 3 days ago, okay? And it was what, one paragraph?
Which position group is the most improved for every NFL team now that the next phase of the offseason is approaching?
Okay, then you got me. I didn't want to. The obvious one to me is running back. And they asked me a question before about, you know, what was the best pick? What was this? What was that? And I thought I'd just shake it up. And since they had two of their top four picks One, two, three, top five, top four picks.
Yep.
In the offensive line, it did improve, right? You'd have to, and they're talking about draft picks improving a position. What other position, other than running back, and I could have said that, and, you know, everybody would have agreed with me. But since they had two of the top four, I figured, I should have thrown a tight end in there.
Yeah, now they got a tight end who can block a little bit. They got an all-around
tight end. Yeah, I should have thrown him in as well because he's going to help the line.
You know why I love that pick,
Ed? We're going by their draft.
Yeah.
We're not going by anything else but their draft, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they drafted two guys for their line. So what other position? You have to pick one. What other position would you have picked?
Well, you're leaving the running back one out, so I guess by default you have to go with.
Does this edge rusher Quincy Roche, Ed, have a chance to really shore them up and kind of get some, you know, situational snaps and maybe be a contributor this year?
I missed it. The outside linebacker?
Yeah, the kid from
Miami. Roche. Does he have a chance since people seem pretty bullish on him to actually make, like, you know, not a splash, but to get some actual meaningful snaps?
He's a sixth round pick. I don't know how bullish they are on him. That's like this Shakur Brown.
Oh, I love that pickup.
There had to be a reason for eight rounds in the draft,
which
is compensatory picks that nobody drafts.
I got to pick my battles, though, Ed. Once in a while, I'll debate you hardcore, but I'm not going to have a Starkey Bolage moment.
I'm not saying he can't
you.
Because James Harrison did.
I know.
Colin Foster did. You know, you can go back to Donnie Shell did.
Yeah,
Randy Grossman did. You know, there have been others. I just like to know why everybody's so high on him, but nobody drafted him.
Now, you talked to Jerome Bettis. He said the other day he thinks that the Steelers are only going to throw the ball 20 to 25 times a game.
Didn't tell me that.
Okay.
I think he may have told somebody else that. He didn't put any numbers. He just thought that this guy, that Najee Harris, could help Ben out in that area where they wouldn't have to have him throwing all the time like they have, you know, recent times, and that he could actually extend his career beyond 2021, which I know is Chris is jumping up and down over.
Chris, are you jumping up and down right now?
No, I think I'm, you know, jumping for the nearest window at that point. Ed, it's time for you and I to go back and forth here a little bit, maybe. I want to know, so PFF, I know you love them. You respect all those guys. I know it's just a mutual admiration society, but when we asked Steve Palazzolo.
PFF.
PFF, Pro Football Focus, your buddies.
So we have
Steve Palazzolo on every week. We like Steve. Uh-huh. He likes us. He says it's his favorite interview to do every single week, and he does a lot of them. And I asked
him
about Dan Moore. Right. Sure, exactly. I mean, that's how the sausage is made here. But I asked him about Dan Moore.
Yeah, that's how it works, Ed. You got us.
I know.
Guilty as charged.
So I asked him about Dan Moore for this reason, because I have seen maybe more optimism about the speed with which Moore can make a contribution to this team locally than nationally, and they were more down on him, unsurprisingly. So what do you think is Dan Moore, like, realistically going to be able to do, if anything, for this team this year?
Oh, he doesn't have to do anything this year. I mean, every draft pick is going to be plugged in and play.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he'll win the
job. Do you think he'll have a chance, a real, like, serious, honest-to-God chance to win a job with them, a starting job right off the bat?
Oh, they'll give him a chance, but he's not going to, I don't think, barring an injury.
Yeah, I don't think it's an open competition like right tackle was last year between Banner and Chooks. No,
I don't think it's anything close to that.
Yeah,
but,
me either.
You know, if the kid comes on and, hey, look, I always point to Kelvin Beachum. You know, seventh-round pick, nobody thought anything of him. He started all four seasons at left tackle at SMU.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this kid started three seasons at left tackle at Texas A&M, right?
Mm-hmm. Better.
Okay, different level of play, obviously. But he knows his way around the position a little bit. I'm not going to put any ceiling on him.
Okay.
But do I have high expectations? No. Why would you? But he's a fourth-round pick. He's not a seventh-round pick. And, you know, I've seen too many guys come in. John Jackson, 10th-round pick.
Yeah.
The longest starting left tackle since the 70s. Max Stokes was a third-round pick. Kelvin, seventh round. Aaron, not drafted at all. He was an offensive player. I mean, a defensive player and tight end and defensive end. I don't know.
And I'm interested.
I'm not going to sit here. You know, PFF has him rated at 200. Oh, well, then, he can't play. If PFF has him rated number 200, this guy just can't play.
Mm-hmm.
No. I'm sorry. I appreciate all those guys. They have jobs to do, and they rank them. But don't make it, you know, black and white because they don't have him ranked high that he can't play. That's my feeling.
And it sounds to me like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I know you will, that you're not sold on their offensive line, and yet you think Harris will have a good year.
Well, no, I don't know about their offensive line, Pony.
But if the line is a question mark.
I know they
have
an all-pro right guard who was hurt last year.
Yeah.
Okay? And played hurt all last year for the most part without them saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Their left guard looks pretty darn good to me.
I agree.
I think Zach can be a good right tackle, and he did win that job over Chooks last year.
Yep. Okay.
So you have two really big question marks is left tackle and center. And, hey, those are big question marks. But that line was terrible last year,
sure,
too, right? And
yeah.
Three of those guys are gone. And the center wasn't that good last year. You know, is he a Hall of Famer? We can debate that up and down.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't one last year.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe the guy who replaces the center is going to be better. Maybe the guy who plays left tackle is going to be better than Villanueva last year.
Do you think Chooks is right now?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen him play left tackle.
Okay.
You know,
but
he's been a right tackle. Left tackle is a different animal.
No, but I'm just going by what you saw from Villanueva last year. Do you think it's a high bar to clear? Do you think it's a tall
not
task?
Not from last year, no, especially in the running game, you know.
Yeah, that's why I can't
but
believe the Ravens
the
signed
tackle,
him.
The left tackle, you don't ask about the running game. Yeah. You ask about his pass protection.
I can't believe the Ravens signed him to be a right tackle. What are they thinking? Oh, my God.
Never played there, and his strength is not run blocking, and that's what you want at a right tackle. I'm with you on that, Andrew. I love Al.
Ed on
hey, good, God bless him. I'm glad he got it. But I want to see him against T.J. Watt.
I hope they lock up Watt long-term before he goes against him because he's going to have a few more sacks and make himself more money in that matchup, Ed. He's going to expose that guy.
Maybe, yeah. We'll see.
Ed,
you know,
one of the things I thought was interesting about Al and what he said on that Zoom call with the Ravens media, though, and I construed this, and this might shock you, as maybe a gentle rebuke of Roethlisberger because we know Roethlisberger has plenty of agency in what they do offensively, you know, what they scheme up, what their tendencies are. Al made it seem like it was not exactly fun playing on this offensive line last year and being asked to pass block so much. And all, like his words suggested that there's a run blocker inside of him that nobody got to see because last year the Steelers just decided to pass the ball more than any team in the NFL. What do you say? Like, do you read that as, or could you read that maybe as a realistic sort of rebuke of the quarterback and the offensive coordinator last year?
Well, I don't know why it would be a rebuke of the quarterback. I think more the offensive coordinator. He's the one who set up everything. He's the one who devised all those short passes and philosophy last year to protect Ben. And I've been told this by many offensive linemen. They love the run block
because they want to hit and not get hit. Right? I mean, it's as simple as that.
Run blocking is an aggressive move by a lineman. Pass blocking is passive. You know, you've got to wait
react.
For that guy to come to you. Right. So in run blocking, you're going out and getting them, and they love that.
Well, I think it's fair to say, though, that there were a lot of run-pass options in the offense last year that ended up pass, no? If you just go by strictly the numbers.
Maybe he made the right choice. You know, I mean, he didn't have a very good running game. I don't know. Everybody wants to blame the quarterback for everything. They weren't blaming him when they were 11-0.
You're right, and I wasn't. I was on his side, but then they lost 5-6, and he didn't look very good down the stretch. Yeah, Chris, you were pretty much against him the whole time, but I wasn't.
Well, Ed, I wonder how much Ben Roethlisberger is going to want to, like, and this isn't, I'm trying to say this without malice in my voice. I'm trying to say it dispassionately. I just wonder if this is going to be his last year for good and for real this time, how much he's going to want to change from what he's comfortable doing. And I think it's pretty well established just by the lack of this play being called that anymore Ben Roethlisberger doesn't want to go under center, doesn't really want to do play action, doesn't want to do a lot of the things that I think a lot of people watching this offense disintegrate last year think they could probably use to make themselves a little better, a little less predictable.
Well, I've said this many times. He's got a new coordinator. He knew that before he agreed to come back, and at some point, someone had to tell him, this is what we're going to do on offense. This is what we want you to do. You're making your decision to come back. You come back, this is what we're going to do. And I would have to think he said, that's fine. We'll do it.
Unless because he thinks he's going to walk all over this offensive coordinator like he did the last guy. Unless he thinks that.
Well, you guys have that opinion that he walked all over him.
You don't?
I don't share it. No. No. And if he did, God bless him. You know, he's done too much here. I don't know why everybody, not everybody, why many people are down on him. He's a Hall of Famer, and he's done...
Well, but Ed, don't you think
people are going to miss him when he's gone?
I don't disagree with you on that, but you miss the production for most of his career. But look at Albert Pujols just got designated for assignment today. You can appreciate a guy's career, but think that they've gotten to the point where they're just not very good anymore. That's where I am.
Well,
with
I thought he was pretty good last year, myself, especially coming off major elbow surgery. And I think he's going to be stronger this year.
Okay, then.
That's my opinion.
That's fine. But let me ask you this follow-up. Who do you then blame for the way he played in the last six games?
Well, I blame part of it on them continuing to knock their heads against the wall and throw those short passes.
So that's Fichtner.
Having no, it's not just him.
Okay.
Having the short passes, no running game, defenses catching up to him. That's what I blame.
But you he's like Tomlin. Not, if he's a smart coach, why the hell did he not adjust to that?
I don't know. Maybe they felt they couldn't. Maybe they felt they just had no run game. And Ben didn't hit 222 last year to be reassigned, designated for assignment, as Pujols did. Or as Pujols is, what is it, 222?
Yeah,
he
had a terrible start to the year.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Okay, Ben didn't have a terrible year last year.
No, I thought he was pretty good for 11 games. I thought he was really good for 11 games, then played like a backup quarterback for the last six.
He didn't put them behind the eight ball by having the first snap of the game over his head for a touchdown either in the playoffs.
But what about the interceptions that came after that?
Well, he was trying to do too much, I think, after that. I think he was trying to do too much, and it just. Snowballed.
I guess you and I are.
And
I guess you and I would say.
He brought him back in the second half pretty well.
No, they still got blown
they
out.
They were trading yards for and touchdowns for time off the clock, though. I just refuse to give him a lot of credit for that. Except I will say we'll never know how much the comeback might have ended up working had Mike Tomlin Tomlin decided to punt on fourth and one like a coward.
I agree with you on that.
All right, Ed.
That was a bad choice.
This wasn't as contentious as you with Starkey that day, but we got close to that, I think. Somewhere in the middle, the sweet spot.
We just disagreed on some things. We didn't get...
No, you guys got a little heated that day, though. This one did not really get heated.
Oh, that was... Yeah. Well, that's Joe. He gets the burr up, you know. He doesn't appreciate humor sometimes, either.
Oh, we love humor on this show. We traffic in humor.
I know. Hey, Chris. I went on your intermittent fasting.
Oh, look at this!
Starting Monday.
And?
6 pounds in 4 days.
Oh, let's go,
let's
Ed!
Let's go, Ed. Okay.
Woo!
That's what I like to hear.
Remember I said
friend.
I'd take 5 pounds? I'm 6 in 4 days.
Ed, you're going to feel awesome. If you've lasted this long, you should be right after the point now where it's not like hard to do every day and you actually don't mind it.
I'm doing the 16-8 thing. It's easy.
Mm-hmm. I'm proud of you.
Oh, let's go, Ed. I love hearing that, my friend.
Yep.
That is good stuff.
Yep.
All right, we'll get another check next week. Okay?
All right. Okay.
We'll see you. at Bouchette.
All right, fellas. See you later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.